Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Daily dispatches from the trial of Norwegian mass murderer Anders Breivik have stirred politicians and online groups to urge Norway's justice system to re-examine its maximum sentence of 21 years, given the severity of the charges against him. The trial has also prompted an inquisitive eye on Halden, the maximum security prison where Breivik could land if convicted. The bright, well-designed facility has been compared to a boutique hotel. Amelia Gentleman recently visited the maximum security facility and wrote a profile for The Guardian. She joins us now from The Guardian's offices in London. Amelia, thanks so much for joining us on Word of Mouth.
Hi there, you're welcome. Good to be here.
Well, first, what's the likelihood of Breivik ending up at Halden after sentencing?
I think it's not likely to be imminent. We don't yet know whether he's going to be ruled sane or not at the end of the trial. But it is likely that he'll get at least the current maximum sentence of 21 years. And immediately after being sentenced, it's probable that he'll stay in the very, very high security jail where he is at the moment. It's a prison called Ila, which is a former concentration camp built in the Second World War just outside Oslo, with a much more strict and conventional regime than the Halden prison that I recently visited. However, it's possible that in a decade or so, of course, depending on his behaviour, that he could end up in Halden. And there's been some discussion of that in Norway.
Now, for listeners, we do have links to pictures from The Guardian, as well as a video tour from the Atlantic Cities blog of Halden Prison. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. But Amelia's going to give us a little sense of it. First impressions there inside the public rooms. It got an award for design. How's it look?
Well, it's extraordinarily different from prisons in the UK for certain. It's set in beautiful forest scenery. There are no bars on any of the windows. There's a lot of attention to letting the light flood into the white painted cells. And a lot of money has been spent on art. I think about $1 million was spent on putting pictures and sculptures and kind of official graffiti murals on the wall at the time that the prison was built 2 years ago. The other really amazing thing about the prison I felt when I went there is the smell. It smells incredibly clean.
Really?
And there's this very, very strong smell of coffee everywhere, and the prisoners sit around drinking coffee with the prison guards. Really different to prisons, certainly in the UK.
And also the programming for prisoners for recreation and education. What's available to them?
Well, the whole ethos there is that you need to keep prisoners busy because the Norwegian prison system doesn't think it's healthy to keep prisoners locked up in their cell all day long. They say the more that you keep somebody in a box, the worse person they come out at the end of their sentence. So they do try and keep all of the prisoners busy. There are lessons, there are amazing facilities for education and for work. Recording studios for people who are interested in music, kind of art and design training centres for people who want to perfect professional skills. Very, very impressive facilities.
What's the cost for a facility like this?
Well, it costs about $500 a night per prisoner, which is more than the standard prisons in Norway.
But by how much?
$300. Well, $300 a night for a kind of older, more conventional prison in Norway, but less expensive than the very high security prison where Breivik is at the moment. But the argument is that you save money by pouring it into the facilities at this stage, because the recidivism level is so much lower. In Norway, after 2 years, about 20% of people who've been through the prison system are likely to reoffend. Whereas in the UK, that figure is more like around 50%.
Yeah, and I'm looking at figures from US prisons, and they're anywhere from, let's see, about state by state, we break down 17 to 67% rearrested within 3 years. And of course, as you probably know, the U.S. has the highest rate of percentage of population in prison. So that's the question, you know, how is this philosophy actually working out there? Who ends up at Halden, first off?
Well, it's a high security jail. It's one of only two, I think, high security jails in Norway. So you've got murderers there, you've got rapists, paedophiles, drug smugglers. So these are not necessarily easy to manage people. In Norway, as you mentioned, you're only likely to serve about up to 21 years in prison. And the real focus for the prison guards in Halden is to prepare people for eventually being released back into the community. So it's all about, the focus is primarily on rehabilitation.
And the guards are trained for, what, 2 years? This is
for 2 years. So it's a very, very serious training. It's a very prestigious job. And the training takes in modules on ethics and human rights. And they're not just there to keep prisoners in their cell and to be authoritarian figures. They are viewed much more as life coaches and mentors and people who'll chat to the prisoners about why they've been offending and how they can reorganize their life when they leave to stop that offending. It's a really, really different kind of job to the prison guard role in certainly in the UK.
We're speaking with Amelia Gentleman from the offices of The Guardian in London. She visited and went inside of the what's been called the most humane prison in the world. It is Halden in Norway, the place where Anders Breivik may well end up if convicted of the crimes that he's been accused of. Well, this prison is often held up. We've seen several slideshows of the prison because it's so extraordinary. In reading the comments section, people are joking about, well, I'm going to go to Norway and commit some crimes. I mean, there's a kind of sneering look at this prison system and the way that it functions and the luxury. But I guess it's working.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think from the outside, it does look fabulous because the cells have got nice shower units. They have white towels. Everybody has a nice desk and television. But if you talk to the inmates, nobody's thrilled to be there. Everybody wants to get back out to their family. It's not a holiday camp by any stretch of the imagination. And ultimately, the punishment is having your freedom removed from you. And I think that that's made very clear by all of the prisoners. They slightly resent the idea of their relatives thinking that they're staying in a hotel, because ultimately it is an absurd comparison, because, you know, you can't just walk out of it.
You quote the prison governor saying that we don't think much about revenge in the Norwegian prison system. We have much more focus on rehabilitation. Would the general population agree with that?
I think what's really interesting about what's happened in Norway since the Breivik case is that it hasn't really provoked a massive new populist debate about the need for a death penalty. Actually, although it's still not clear what will happen to Breivik, there is a sense that the Norwegian justice system can accommodate even this most extraordinarily extreme crime. So it's very surprising to go there, particularly from a country like the UK, where when we have this kind of atrocity, we're instantly the knee-jerk reaction is to think about whether we should return to the death penalty.
Well, how about the inmates? How are they dealing with the Breivik murders, his trial, and whether or not his case could actually change the nature of Norwegian prison life?
Well, everyone there is fascinated by it. Whilst I was there, it was going on in the court, and there was much communal watching of the news bulletins about the daily updates. But I suppose even within this community of people who are themselves murderers, rapists, kind of serious criminals, there's a sense that Breivik has crossed a line of unacceptability. And very touchingly, last year, shortly after the event, there was an initiative generated by one of the prisoners to ask every inmate, and there are some 240 inmates in Halden, to give up their daily wage of around $10 or $12 for a collection, which was then sent to the victims, to Breivik's victims, to buy flowers. Apparently it moved the people in the justice ministry so much that they were in tears in the office when they found out about it.
I can't imagine that would be a very receptive population if Breivik were to land there.
No, I mean, I think that the prisoners said that it isn't the right environment for him, certainly at the moment. And there was a much discussion of how they would like to attack him, which was quite startling, given that actually within Halden there isn't very much fighting. Violence isn't a problem, and the prison governor said he couldn't even remember the last time that there was a fight there. So it's on the whole, it's a tremendously calm, humane atmosphere. But Breivik, I think, has provoked different reactions amongst the prisoners.
It's a fascinating story and a fascinating place. I want to thank you for your time, Amelia.
Thank you.
Amelia Gentleman. She's a feature reporter from The Guardian. She spoke to us from the offices of The Guardian in London. There is a link to her article, Inside Halden, the Most Humane Prison in the World, along with a slideshow and a video of the prison at wordofmouthradio.org. And while you're there, post your thoughts about the Halden philosophy. Certainly different than the prison philosophy here in the U.S. You can also contribute to the conversation through our Facebook page or on Twitter. Stay with us now for Bowling Together. One family does it and does it regularly. We'll hear about them in just a moment on Word of Mouth.